This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Every state in the nation will see pro-choice rallies today as abortion rights advocates will gather at various locations to speak out against the abortion bans and promote reproductive freedom. So far, over a dozen states have passed or tried to pass stricter abortion laws this year. This woman in New York City is going to one such rally.
And we're here to raise the alarm and let women understand that this is a systematic attack on women's reproductive health care.
With those stricter laws sure to go before the Supreme Court eventually, backers are hoping that it will lead the court to overturn Roe v. Wade. Former White House counsel Don McGahn not going to a House Judiciary Committee hearing today after his lawyer sends a letter saying that McGahn will respect President Trump's request not to testify. The committee says he could be held in contempt of Congress. And this is USA Radio News.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to health care sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
At least five states have tornado watches in place again as more severe weather is rolling across the plains and Midwest. The National Weather Service says high winds and hail could arrive again before the tornadoes threaten parts of Oklahoma, Texas, Missouri, Arkansas, and Illinois. A bill aimed at protecting religious-affiliated businesses is a step closer to taking effect in Texas, where the House gave the final approval to the so-called Save Chick-fil-A bill on Monday, days after the Senate gave it the okay. It would make it illegal for governments to withhold or terminate grants, contracts, or loans to businesses that donate to religious groups.
Until you call me and change my mind, Muslim...
That's a Taco Bell worker in Bridgeton, Missouri, who's been fired after this profanity-laced racist rant against a Muslim customer goes viral.
That's how you feel about me, though?
They killed thousands of my people.
USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
The measles outbreak keeps spreading. The CDC says it's now up to 880 confirmed cases in 24 states, 41 new cases since just last week. The 880 case total, the biggest since measles, was declared eliminated in the U.S. in 2000. And this outbreak is building towards a record of 963 cases back in 1994. The biggest concentration of new cases in New York, where outbreaks continue in Brooklyn, Queens, and suburban Rockland County. Most of the people infected with measles across the nation were not vaccinated. Actor Jason Mitchell is being dropped by the Showtime series The Chi, as well as an upcoming Netflix movie after his agency and management team confirmed reports of what Deadline calls allegations of inappropriate behavior and an alleged offset incident, which involved the 32-year-old actor. Mitchell broke out in 2015's Straight Outta Compton, playing the late rapper Eazy-E. He's been the de facto lead as Brandon in the first two seasons of The Chi. And the FCC giving the green light for SpaceX to launch more than 4,400 satellites, creating a network to sell home internet service. The first launch is set for later this week, following an earlier delay. And speaking of the internet, you can find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. Great resources there, by the way. Because we're givers, absolutely free. You can download any interview of our past expert guests, outstanding authors, entertainment figures, all right there for you. Download, share, enjoy at your own convenience. Along with all the other information, there's a plethora of information here to advance the cause and that hopefully will add to your day, because that's what it's all about. We want to add, not take away from your day. And look, we got enough to deal with right now. You got to have somebody looking out for you, and that's what we do here. Stephen Waldman joins us now. We're going to be talking about his brand new book, Sacred Liberty, about America's long, bloody, and ongoing struggle for religious freedom. Stephen, welcome to the show. How are you?
Very good. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, good to have you here, especially in light of, you know, the debate over religious freedom in America. I mean, I think in many ways, and you might agree with this, that we've kind of taken religious freedom for granted. But now that it seems to, there seems to be a war on religion, it really has put us in kind of a confused state of mind, has it not?
Yeah, I think confused is a perfect word, and I totally agree about taking it for granted. I think that religious freedom is America's greatest invention, and and one of the things that we can, you know, kind of show to the rest of the world about how to create a system where you can have both tolerance and religious vibrancy, where people can really follow their faith paths freely. And there's kind of a misconception that we always had that, and we really didn't. You know, this is a history book, Sacred Liberty, and it's really, the first parts of it are really about how troubled it was, really, that we really didn't have religious freedom at the settling of America or at the founding. You know, we kind of, from the early years, adopted the European model where the government would pick and choose religions and favor one religion over another. And gradually, we have worked our way to a very successful model of religious freedom. We can talk, you know, in a bit about what the problems are, but basically, we've come a long, long way. And it happened as a result of incredible sacrifice on the part of Americans, most of whose names we don't know or don't learn about in school.
Exactly.
So I think the first step is to really appreciate how hard it was to win religious freedom in the first place, how we got it and what it means.
Stephen, I've always maintained that without religious freedom, the idea of a free America and this great American experiment just wouldn't have existed. It would have just imploded on itself. And again, this goes back to that what I said earlier in terms of taking it for granted. You know, people don't realize just how important and vital to the future and to the bedrock of this American ideal that religious freedom was so intricate to that.
Yeah, I agree.
Is that fair?
I happen to agree with that, and I think, you know, the founding fathers did, but it is also true that they disagreed with each other over what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and how to achieve it. I think part of why it took a long time for this to take root is there are some tough questions about how you implement religious freedom. And one of the problems that we had in the early days is people would talk about religious freedom, but what they really meant was religious freedom for their group,
mm-hmm.
and not for other people.
Right.
So, which is not actually religious freedom. You know, that's more, you know, protecting your group, which is fine, but, you know, for instance, one of the most important consequential bouts of persecution in American history was the attacks on the Baptists,
mm-hmm.
in Virginia in the 1760s, 1770s. Now, these are folks who we would today probably call evangelical Christians. That wasn't really the term used back then, but that's basically who they were. And they were brutally attacked by, in that case, the Anglican Church, the Church of England, but
right.
really, in that case, the Church of Virginia. And you would have astonishing scenes of, you know, a Baptist preacher being up there and the Anglican minister coming in with a posse and jamming the butt end of a whip in the guy's mouth and then dragging him out to the fields and having beaten, or they'd throw wasp nests into services that were being held. And about half of the Baptist ministers in that area were arrested at one point or another in the period right up to the American Revolution. And what's really, really significant about this is that this all happened within a horse ride of James Madison's house.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So he didn't have to read about this in, you know, books about European history. He was hearing about it and experiencing religious persecution right in his backyard. And one of the things I say in this book is that there's no group that, at least in the first couple centuries, that did more to advance religious freedom than evangelical Christians. And the reason I say that is largely because of the influence that they had on Madison. And, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions about Madison's, the founder's views on these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Madison really had this very radical idea, which was the best way to help religion was to leave it alone. And that was really influenced by the evangelicals of the 18th and 17th century. And it was very unusual, you know, because mm-hmm. up until that point, it was like, you want to help religion? Government should get in there and help religion, you know, and tax people, and we're going to tax taxpayers, and we're going to use the money to pay the salaries of the ministers, things like that. And the Baptists said, no, that's going to backfire. That's not biblical, you
right.
know, render unto Caesar what is his. And it went as far, and this part, you know, might surprise your listeners a little bit, is they went as far as to say, certainly we shouldn't have persecution, but we also shouldn't even have help from the government.
Right.
Their view was that would backfire, that it would inevitably, if the government's helping a religion, even if it's well-intended, it will corrupt the religion.
Exactly.
And it'll make the ministers lazy, and,
yeah,
you know,
right.
it won't turn out well.
Wisdom. Wisdom reigned there, that's for sure. Can you imagine, if the government starts social engineering religion in this country? I mean, the very thing that our founding fathers wanted to stay away from. But, you know, things like that can creep in ever so gently. Again, as we were saying earlier, this is a bit dynamic, you know, with every idea that was brought forth. you know, we had to work through it. We'd say, okay, this is where we're heading, but how do we implement religious freedom, and what does that look like? I'm not sure, you know, to your point, that our founding fathers had the idea of religious freedom that we have here, plus and minus in the 21st century. But I think that there's maybe, you know, some core objectives or objective that we may be missing. And I want to get into that next. We've got more from Steve Walden after this.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call, 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't worry. I trust your taste implicitly. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, conversation continues with journalist, best-selling author Stephen Waldman. His new book, Sacred Liberty, America's Long, Bloody, and Ongoing Struggle for Religious Freedom. It always has not been a kumbaya, as some might think. Like anything that had to do with the founding of our country, here's the idea, and as soon as you lay the idea out, you're going to have antithetical forces and that tension against it. I mean, after all, go back to where this country originated from. You had all these immigrants coming in with their cultural ideas that, of course, coming from different forms of oppressive forms of government. And in large part, Stephen, they just said, we don't want that. But there were some people still in this country that said, well, we don't want this either. We want that. You know, we want what was in the former country, which I'm sure had to be brain damaging for some of the founding fathers going, wait a minute, that was the very thing you ran away from. Why do you want to bring that here into this country? And maybe part of it in what you suggested earlier is that, you know, to some degree, it's our comfort zone. It may be uncomfortable in some respect, but we know what we can count on. And, maybe that was, part of the process that the early pioneers and the early founders, and I extend that to all the citizens of America that were dreaming the big dream of what could possibly be with this great ideal.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you try to put yourselves in the heads of someone from, you know, 19th century America, and you're a religious person, and you've feel excited about your faith and feel that you found the true way, mm-hmm. asking that person to therefore tolerate some other faith that you really feel like is dangerous or wrong, it's a little bit against human nature.
Sure, absolutely.
That's a hard thing to counter. And so that's part of why religious freedom took a while to really set root here, is we're asking people to do something that doesn't necessarily come naturally, mm-hmm. to accept and tolerate people or religions that we, in some cases, really think are dangerous or right. wrong. You know, we saw this with if you look at the 19th century, so the 1800s, you kind of get the sense that religious freedom was actually kind of shallow in our conception of it. So, like, two examples are the treatment of Catholics, was really pretty horrible. I mean, convents were burned down and churches were burned down. There were riots. 30 people died in Philadelphia over, a fight over the public schools. And what was interesting about that, it's just like a good little window in history, is the fight was over the teaching of the Bible in the schools. Both the Protestants and the Catholics wanted the Bible to be taught in public schools, but Protestants insisted that it be the King James translation and the Protestant version of the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. And the Catholics said, no, that's not the translation that we use. We should mm-hmm. be allowed to read from the Catholic, preferred Catholic translation, the Douay Rheims version. And that was the fight. And the majority, you know, said, no, we're the majority and we get to decide this. And the Catholics said, that's not religious freedom. And it was, they came to blows. It was a brutal thing. Now, one of the ironic side effects is that you ended up with the Bible not being taught at all, because, the Protestants ultimately said, we'd rather have no Bible taught than give moral equivalency to the Catholics. So that was like a fascinating instance of, okay, we have this general sense of religion.
Don't you love like this that. Kind of conflict? In the love of Jesus Christ, let's just, you know, let's just battle this out. I mean, we are an ironic bunch of humanoids, aren't we?
It's true. Oh. And I always said the unintended consequences are always so fascinating. And, you know, another one had to do with the treatment of the Mormons during that period too. And that's a good example, because Mormons really were outside the mainstream, mm-hmm. and it was a real challenge. Like people said, okay, we really support religious freedom. And then the Mormons come along, and it's a, you know, it's a real challenge. I mean, yes, obviously it's kind of a new religion. The theology is completely different. It's very hard for Protestants to say, you know, have a live and let live attitude of like, oh yeah, these Mormons, we don't agree with them, but they seem fine. You know, that's hard to look at it that way. They viewed it as a threat and and wrong. Mm-hmm. And, but unfortunately went way overboard, and because we really didn't have a strong sense of what religious freedom meant back then. And it was actually the governor of Missouri issued a formal order calling for the extermination of the Mormons in Missouri. It's actually like a genocide.
Yeah,
order.
Exactly. Right.
And it resulted in a horrible massacre of Mormons, in Missouri, at that time. So, you know, to say the least, we hadn't yet kind of reconciled our, you know, our desires for religious freedom on the one hand with our religious convictions that might tell us, you know, that this other religion is false or dangerous on the other hand.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that's the true litmus test that takes time, you know, when you have religions coming in. Like, for example, you know, as you and I were talking about, the religion of Islam. Right. You know, on one hand, I mean, we've got terrorist activities. We read of the Quran, some more than others, and read that, look at you, you know, you're one of two people. Either you are a follower of Islam and part of the faithful, or you're an infidel. And the consequences of being an infidel, no bueno. And this is a problem. Now we have people coming in, you know, Muslims coming into the country and going, wow, you know, this freedom of religion thing here in the United States, this is an awesome thing. You know, and as you said earlier, their ability to practice their faith is much more liberating than their home country. But I think they still have a group of people that are challenged to catch up with that ideal and that opportunity. I mean, you've got practices, people who practice their faith of Islam that still believe in honor killings. And these things in the Sharia that are very aggressive and some would question or antithetical to, you know, our Constitution and the basic mores of our religious culture.
Well, I would put this in some historical context in this way, is that a lot of the fears and concerns that you just outlined were things that people said about Catholics and Mormons in the 19th century.
Right.
And what you found, though, was that and there was some truth to it, by the way. You know, the Mormons were violent in some ways, and the Catholics did require some obedience to the Vatican. So people would say, you know, it's really hard to be a good Catholic and a good American at the same time, because you're following, you know, it's almost like Sharia law. You're following Catholic law dictated by the Pope.
Well, and that issue was still an issue when JFK was elected president, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's not that long ago, actually.
Right, yeah. Right. You're absolutely right. That's a great point. It was not long ago, and it was but what JFK said and what Al Smith, another Catholic candidate who ran in 1928, said, and what even the Catholics of the earlier said, is we're American Catholics, and in effect, we do our own thing. And a kind of American form of Catholicism developed that, you know, absolutely took guidance from the Pope on theological and religious matters, but broke with the Vatican over separation of church and state, supporting separation of church and state and religious freedom of American variety. Mm-hmm. And I think that is, in fact, what's happening with American Muslims. Most of them, you know, have way more freedom to practice Islam here than they did in a, you know, Muslim-majority country back home. They have no interest in changing the Constitution for a Sharia system.
Exactly.
Take them back.
Well, Stephen, we got to wrap it here. We're out of time. But again, I thank you so much. Sacred Liberty by Stephen Waldman. It'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Thank you, Stephen. Appreciate the conversation.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9164, 800-915-9164, 800-915-9164. That's 800-915-9164.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The House Judiciary Committee is meeting at this hour, but former White House counsel Don McGahn has ignored a House subpoena to testify there about special counsel Robert Mueller's final report after the White House instructed McGahn not to testify. Now McGahn could be held in contempt of Congress. New York's Democratic Mayor Bill de Blasio recently announcing he's running for president, and it drew some strong reactions, negative ones, from many members of the media, from the New York Post to Fox News. De Blasio says,
to me, that's like a walk in the park. I didn't even notice that, because I deal with really tough issues every single day. I deal with the toughest press corps in America. I deal with, unfortunately, with the number one terror target in America.
De Blasio speaking on CNN this morning. Two people have been killed in the second fatal float plane crash in Alaska within the past week. And this is USA Radio News.
I'm not going very far.
It's too uncomfortable.
I'm in a hurry.
Sometimes I just forget.
There's no such thing as a good excuse for not buckling up. You're not only putting yourself at risk of injury or death, it could also cost you lots of money. Cops are writing tickets, so why take the risk? Do the smart thing and start buckling up every trip, day or night. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez live.
Hey, back with you, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, Joseph Pietri joins us now. He's the author of The King of Nepal, a book about his adventures within the drug trade before the drug war started in the 1970s. Joseph, welcome to the show. How are you? Are you there? We lost him. Okay. I mean, after the big roundup introduction, he's missing in action. He's not on stage. We love radio, don't we? It's all good fun. Anyway, it's going to be interesting here having this conversation because we've got several topics to talk about. Not only his book, but also the 15-ounce pound, as they call it, Big Pharma's plan to patent pot. So stay tuned for that. Okay, Joseph Pietri is connected with us now. Joseph, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Thanks for joining us. Your book, The King of Nepal, a book about your adventures within the drug trade, even before the drug wars started in the 70s. What was like, you know, describe to our audience what that was like.
Well, at those days, there was a lot of countries that still were legal. Mm-hmm. You know, Afghanistan was legal. All of India was legal. Nepal was legal. There was a lot of countries that were still legal, especially in Africa as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would come from the States where it was prohibited. And let me tell you something, in the 60s and 70s, you know, pot wasn't a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Pot wasn't a big thing. You know, it was like kiddie dope is what the cops would call it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, if the cops caught you with, say, 50 pounds or 10 pounds or 2 pounds or whatever, normally the cops would take it from you and then sell it and take your money. But they wouldn't arrest you. It was too much paperwork and wasn't worth the trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it was a different attitude here, too.
Right. What kind of money are we talking about in the, you know, pre-70s, in the 60s and 70s that we're talking about for pot?
Well, in the 60s and 70s, you know, a kilo of pot, you know, 2.2 pounds on the border, or you brought it up on the border, you could bring it into New York for like about $100, and sell it for $200 for a kilo.
Mm-hmm.
So the price of a pound was like $50 to $100.
Right, right.
Those days.
So it was really, in a lot of ways, kind of chump change. Like you said, well, you know, they're talking about, you know, a kiddie drug, a whole deal. They sell it, you know, police go or whatever, and whoever gets their hands on it makes a couple of bucks, no big deal. And it's not enough to, you know, get the IRS excited, even though it's a cash business. But eventually, like all things that are done, in the black market, eventually it catches the attention of the IRS because they start looking at the amount of money and as the cost of pot increases, right?
Right. I remember in the 70s, we used to have a guy who had, we had farms, and in those days there was no cartels or anything. You had independent farmers who you could contract out and grow your weed for you in Mexico. And I had one friend of mine who grew his weed in Sierra Madre, in Sierra Maestra, in the Sierra Madres, and it was manicured, completely unpressed, and just beautiful weed. And I remember when we got that first load in New York, we were wondering, because we would have to sell it for more, we were wondering if we could sell it for $300 a pound.
Uh-huh.
$350 a pound. And because weed was like $100 a pound, $10 an ounce, $20 an ounce. How can we sell this? This was going to be like $20, $25, $30 an ounce wholesale.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the weed was so much better that it immediately took over the market. And then better quality weed started being brought in because it got more money.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a Jamaican sensimilla, you had a Colombian sensimilla, you had Mexican sensimilla, and that weed was wonderful. We wish we had those flavors and tastes today. After Nixon declared his war on drugs, the price of weed started to go way up, you know, and then the Thai weed started coming in from Thailand, and, you know, they were selling that from anywhere from $100 to $150 an ounce.
Oh.
At wholesale, because they had to bring it all the way over from Thailand,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so then the prices started to go up. But you know, in those days, in the 60s and 70s, the early part of those years, that you could get a pound of hash for $300 to $500 a pound,
mm-hmm.
you know. So there was really, the market was much lower then. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you bought some hash in Europe, you could 3 or 4 times your money by bringing it to the States.
Right.
You know, so, but once they made it illegal, right, and they started really going after the weed with Nixon, the prices started to go up, and then also, the legality started to go up. Like in Thailand, as an example, in Thailand, if a farmer got caught growing a field of weed, he paid a fine, you know, paid the cops off, but no one was ever arrested. After 1980, they started arresting people and giving people 20 years in jail. Mm-hmm. In Nepal, in 1973, they made it illegal. When they made marijuana and hashish illegal, they closed all the hash shops, illegal hash shops in Nepal. The first thing that you saw on the street in Kathmandu was that the kids started selling pot to tourists and hash to tourists.
Really?
Once they made it illegal. It was always a controlled market. You bought your hash from the farmers. You brought it into Kathmandu. They weighed it, and they charged you 35 rupees a kilo tax on each kilo, which was like $3.50 in those days.
Right.
So the law started to change, and in India, you know, India being a Hindu country, at every Hindu temple in India, there was a government run hash shop and ganja shop,
mm-hmm.
because they have to smoke they smoke ganja and hash to God, to Shiva.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you know, it was a slow a changeover of making it from legal to illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the thing that I have found, you know, about all of this is that the drug war was a Ponzi scheme. They when they made marijuana illegal in 1937 by Anslinger, mm-hmm. they just didn't make marijuana illegal. They made Mother Nature illegal. Prior to 1937, when the market was natural, they were importing thousands and millions of pounds from India and Asia, Central Asia and Indica and stuff for the natural market, natural medicine business in the U.S. and in all the Western countries.
Mm-hmm.
The 80% of the business of the medicines that were made prior to 1937 were cannabis based. They just wow. came out with a drug now, Epilodex by GW Pharmaceuticals. That is a remedy for epilepsy. It stops the seizures. Well, mm. the Chinese have been using that for 6,000 years
mm.
for epilepsy,
and that's cannabis based.
What they did is they made the Mother Nature illegal, and they're selling you chemical concocted copies of it.
Mm.
Meanwhile, you've lost all your knowledge of what natural medicines are out there, what medicinal plants are out there that mainly anybody could grow at home.
Mm-hmm.
I just got a book. It's called The Drug Plants of Africa, and it's from 1948. And it shows all the medicinal drug plants of each country in Africa and what their purposes were, what its purpose was.
Mm-hmm.
And so Africa had cures for everything growing in the jungle, and they were exporting those plants to the Western market, the Western medical market. And so when I say that it's a Ponzi scheme, they made it illegal. They made Mother Nature illegal, and been selling you chemical concocted copies, and then putting you in jail if you're growing a medicinal plant that they've declared illegal, like dandelions. Dandelions
right.
has three or four different kinds of medical uses. They actually created Roundup to destroy dandelions because they don't want you to know how important that plant is.
Joseph Pietra is with us. He's the author of the book King of Nepal. We've got more from Joseph on the other side of the break.
Money, 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 money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. That's 888-794-1645. NMLS number 1136.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-596-2154. 800-596-2154. 800-596-2154. That's 800-596-2154.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how did it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live. Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez live.
You know, all the unintended consequences that we have to deal with, and Joseph Pietri is with us, and we're talking about his book, The King of Nepal, amongst other things, you know, particularly, you know, what's happening, you know, with marijuana. And, you know, we've got more and more states making it legal, although federally it's still illegal. Joseph, I don't know what they're going to be able to do if all of a sudden we're going to end up with a modern day Elliot Ness, and we're going to start breaking up, you know, pot factories across the country that some states have, you know, legalized.
Exactly. That's going to be, well, what's going to happen is that the federal government is going to legalize across the board. But when the feds legalize it, then comes out the federal rules and regulations. So what they'll do, they'll come out with something like, okay, flower can't be stronger than 10% THC.
Right.
Concentrates can't be stronger than this. They've already come out with edibles that they can't be stronger than 10 milligrams each dose. You know what I mean? So they're that'll chase a lot of people out of the business.
Right.
They haven't legalized it where you go to a bank with money and deposit it. These guys are paying their taxes in cash every 3 months.
Yes.
But the one thing that people don't realize, because they're not 100 years old like me, but that Henry Anslinger, that when he came out with the UN treaty, a treaty for drugs, right?
Mm-hmm.
He gave the right to the tobacco industry to be the only producer of cannabis cigarettes if and when it became it was re-legalized.
Mm-hmm.
And that was signed in the 60s. You've got a lot of agreements with the big tobacco and all these companies that were signed when Anslinger came into office before he made the UN Charter.
Mm-hmm.
He made everybody in the world, if they wanted to be in the UN, they had to sign his charter and be against Mother Nature.
Amazing. So what happens?
And by the way, his family was involved with DuPont and all the companies that that made fortunes when natural medicines became illegal, people made billions and billions of dollars. That's how they can get away with today of putting people in jail, putting people in jail a business. I mean, think how has empowered the police.
Right.
I mean, well, it's just crazy. It's just crazy. So that's why I call it a Ponzi scheme, because it was set up by people at the top, and they're the only ones that make money from it. And they make money from it with their privatized prisons, their medications that they sell, the cockamamie concoctions that they produce, all this stuff. And the money always went up. At the same time, it empowered the police. They empowered the police, so they have more power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
yeah.
Right now we're trying to work with a project in Thailand to re-legalize it. The Thailand has had medical cannabis for 6,000 years. Same thing India, the Ayurvedic industry. Cannabis is a very important herb that they use for many, many different medications.
Mm-hmm.
Medications, you know, when in the days where they had, where a pharmacist knew how to use a mortar and pistol. You go into a pharmacy, you never see a mortar.
No, that's right. Exactly. Now, maybe some compounding shops.
Pre-made.
Yeah, maybe some compounding shops, but by and large, we don't see that. You know,
see that anymore. They cut that out.
Yes.
They cut that out. You know, who are they to tell us that Mother Nature is not legal?
Mm-hmm.
Who are they? I mean,
we're hearing some of this stuff, Joseph. I mean, you know, right now, experientially, people are getting more involved with CBD oil, and which is a derivative. And, you know, it's all part of, you know, as you say, the Mother Nature quotient. Even the Bible says that God gave us, the trees, the leaves,
plants and herbs to use,
you know, for healing. And and so now you've got big government, you've got these entities, the United Nations, Big Pharma coming into play, and they patent pot. I mean, this is amazing. How do you patent something that God has created?
Well, you can't patent a plant. You can't plant it. Like, I collect some seeds in Malawi. They're from Malawi. They're land race. I can't patent that, but if I make a hybrid from it, I can patent the hybrid.
Mm.
But you have GW Pharmaceuticals spending billions of dollars to keep cannabis illegal. They've patented CBD and they've patented THC at the same time that they patented those two compounds that come from cannabis, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've made it illegal for everybody else to have it and produce it. Right now, we have CBD is legal across the state, but there are some states that are not illegal. You can still get arrested for it.
Right.
And it's still being taken out of your baggage if they find it at, when they inspect your baggage. If they find that, they take it from you. You know, so you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
But the thing
about it is that people have to realize that what they did is they just didn't make marijuana illegal. They made all of Mother Nature's herbs and healing plants illegal. And they buried that information where unless you do massive research, can you find that information? And I was by chance, I just saw a book on Amazon that said the drug plants of Africa.
Right.
I said, I got that. So I had to get the book. It was expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got it, I saw all the herbs and plants that we could be using as natural medicines from countries all, Africa's a poor country, poor people in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable that Africa has poor people there. That's the richest continent on the planet. And they've suppressed it and confused it so much that they actually have poor people.
Mm-hmm.
There. They should never have a poor person there. And man, the civilizations that came out of Africa were huge, bigger than anything that we had here in the States at the time.
Exactly.
You know, so basically it's control of information and media that's killing us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really killing people.
Joseph, I want to address your book, your new book, The 15-Ounce Pound, Big Pharma's Plan to Patent Pot. We've touched on this a little bit, but unwrap that a little bit for our audience to give them an idea of
it's as if the Dutch created a year zero for cannabis, and everything since 1990 has been the Dutch way. So they've everything that's written, everything that's said about cannabis is from their point of view. As an example, a cannabis is a short day, long night flowering plant. Unless the night is longer than the day, it doesn't go into flower.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In the grow books, they have people growing plants, cannabis indoors
mm-hmm.
on a long day, short night schedule. Right? Only when making money there is the power company.
Right, because they're using the lights in order to do that, right?
Yeah, well, they put the lights on, but they gave them a schedule that makes no horticultural sense. Photoperiodism was left out of the grow books, so photoperiodism is in biology 101.
Mm-hmm.
Nelson's greenhouse operations and management. The photoperiodism was discovered in 1920. By two American scientists. They realized that some plants flower with a long day, short night schedule, and some are completely opposite, short day, long night, and some plants are day neutral. Like your springtime flowers,
mm-hmm.
they're long day, short night. Cannabis is short day, long night. So when they discovered that, it enabled people who have glass houses or greenhouses to be able to grow year-round. That information was left out of the grow books. You know, it was okay when you could sell weed for $4,000 a pound if it cost you $1,000 a pound to grow. You're still three, four times your money. But now, when people are selling weed for $300 to $500 a pound wholesale, if it's costing you $1,000 a pound, you're frozen out of that market.
Now. Right, exactly.
That's what happened to a lot of people. I said to them, man, you're growing wrong, but everybody, you know, said, nah, I've been doing this for years, you know, and you were doing it for years when it was $5,000 a pound, $4,000 a pound. How about now?
Right.
What are you doing now? What you're doing now is you're opening the door for the flower industry,
mm-hmm.
the agriculture industry, because the flower industry, the ones that grow your springtime flower, your Mother's Day bouquet, your Valentine's, your Christmas flowers, those guys know how to grow. I did a speech in Vegas, and three botanist scientists came up to me. These guys grow millions and millions of flowers. They're
mm-hmm.
you know, they're in the biggest industry that we have here, the flower industry, one of the biggest industries.
Mm-hmm.
They said to me, Joe, everything you're saying is correct, but why are you teaching this? We're taking this industry over.
Right.
So once the Fed legalized, you'll see the tobacco companies be more out there with their cigarettes, with their cannabis cigarettes. You'll see the flower industry come in and grow massive amounts of flower. You know what I mean? Because they already have the millions of square feet under.
Right, of course.
Know,
and they're gonna bury the little guy. You know, the mom and pop operations.
Bury the little guy.
Without a doubt. Well, Joseph Pietri has been our guest. It's a wrap there. Joseph, look forward to continuing the conversation and having you back here on the show. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Bacon.